Good morning, everyone. All right, here we go. Holly did a good job summarizing the sermon this morning. She didn't see my notes, but she got the gist of it. So everything that will be said this morning is just a footnote to whatever she said earlier. So in life, we will face different kinds of suffering. We will meet physical suffering, taking different forms, illnesses. Some are, you know, short-term, some are long-term, some are only for a time, some are terminal. We also meet emotional, mental pain and suffering in different forms. We can experience fear, we can experience guilt, shame, anxiety, depression. All these kinds of things can be with us for a time or for more of a long term. And then we can also meet spiritual pain and suffering in the form of either losing touch with God up to a crisis of faith, whether about the existence of God or about the inerrancy of scriptures. There are different forms of spiritual pain and suffering as well. Sometimes these experience seems to last forever, like we're going to see today in the book of Job. Sometimes they are self-inflicted due to our own stupidity or bad decision, but sometimes they are imposed on us. They just suddenly arrive in our life, and we have to deal with it. It's stuff that we didn't sign up for, but then we get caught in them, and we have no choice but to go with them through a period of time in our lives. Why does a good and loving God allow pain and suffering to enter into the life of his children? Well, the short answer to that question is basically learning purposes. Transformative learning. If you have somewhere to go right now, you can leave. You got the point of the sermon. But if you want to stay, we're going to explore these things for a little bit longer. Today we're going to address this question. We're going to use the book of Job. The book of Job is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, book in the Old Testament. We can be deceived by the order because it's part of the poetic literature. But if you put books of the scriptures in chronological order in terms of when they were written, Job is most likely the oldest or among the oldest. And this is not surprising that early on in his relationship with humankind, God addressed the topic of pain and suffering because it is so common and part of the human experience. And our God is all about our human experience, meeting our human experience and predicament. This is basically the reason why Christ came, to ultimately destroy death and with it pain and suffering, so that we can enjoy an eternity with God without this. God is about connecting with our human experience and answering our need. And Christianity of knowledge, of head knowledge, fall short of God's full intention. The proof of it is basically the incarnation, right? Christ took human flesh and lived among us in order to be one of us and address our situation. God entered in the human experience. There is so much to say about the book of Job or about this topic, we cannot possibly cover everything today. We'll try to do it within an hour. Don't worry. Just kidding. We're going to look at only a few reasons why a good and loving God allows pain and suffering to enter the life of his children. I am assuming that you're familiar with the story of the book of Job and the double backdrop behind the scene of the book, a wager between God and Satan and Job's intense experience of pain and suffering. The question of pain and suffering in the context of God's good providence has been the subject of discussion and debates over the centuries. Basically, you can summarize it like this. Does God ordain every details of our lives, including pain and sufferings? Or do they just come as part of life and God use them and redeem them to bring about a greater purpose in our life? Is it one or is it the other? Well, the answer is yes. You find people on both sides of the fence. The question takes different forms. Another example is, why do bad things happen to good people? The question is more than just a philosophical or theological questions, obviously. It has very practical ramifications in our lives. It's about making sense of the pain and suffering that we meet in our lives, whatever form it can take, in light of God's good will and purpose for us. The practical ramification at the end of the day is, how will I react to it? Will it break me or will it make me? Will I become better going through it, or will I become bitter and angry with life, with God, and with other people and circumstances and those instruments that God used to bring pain and suffering in our lives? Will I trust God and this journey of pain and suffering or not? That's the ultimate choice that we will have to do. Just let us take a second here to pray before we continue. Lord, we bring this time together before you and ask that your Holy Spirit will lead this time and apply the truth that we will go through today from the book of Job and apply them in our lives in such a way that we will find a new dimension of your love and of your good purpose for each one of us. All right, can we learn apart from pain and suffering, from the experience of pain and suffering? The answer is no. Of course, there are a few things we can learn, but there are certain things in life, spiritually speaking, in our relationship with God, that we can only learn through pain and suffering and not apart from them. This is part of life as we grow up, right? We even see this necessity in the life of Jesus himself, the Son of God. Pain and suffering was a regular part of Jesus' life. I don't know at what frequency Jesus was meeting pain and suffering, but when you read about his ministry, you can read between the lines the difficulties in his life, and also in his encounters with the Pharisees, and of course, his Passion Week. And pain and suffering was part of his learning process. What? Yeah, we read of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, that he was a man of sorrow, a man familiar with pain and suffering. We also read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, that although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Interesting. Jesus needed to learn, and pain and suffering was part of his learning process. How do we understand that? Jesus was the Son of God. Well, we have to look at that under the light of his humanity. We don't have time to look at that, but we just want to say that if this was necessary for Jesus, the Son of God, it will be necessary for us as well, right? What is good for Jesus is also good for us. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's going to be good enough for us. There is a difference between book knowledge and first-hand experience involving pain and suffering. Book knowledge fills the mind, but first-hand experience of pain and suffering transform the heart. I don't want to minimize or despise book knowledge. It is important. It is one way of learning and of knowing things. But first-hand experience had something that book knowledge cannot add. Even the marketplace knows that today. In the past, you had a diploma, you found a job at the end of your years of study, and here we go. But nowadays, in the last at least 30 years, is you get a diploma, you come to apply to an employment, and they're asking you, great, you have a diploma, do you have experience? No? Oh, sorry. First-hand experience transforms the heart. When you face intense pain and suffering, gives you a jolt in your life, depending on how it happens. This jolt brings you to reevaluate your life, yourself, your purpose. It brings humility. It brings a new perspective in your life. It brings empathy towards other people, also suffering. Sometimes, unfortunately, pain and suffering is the only way God can get our attention. This famous quote from C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasure, he speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rise or rouse a deaf world. So if pain and suffering is allowed for learning purposes and transformative learning, what did Job learn through his intense experience of pain and suffering? What was the final purpose of this whole endeavor? Well, the answer to that question is found in Job chapter 42, verse 1 to 6. We read in that section of the book towards the end, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is it? Who is this that obscures my plan without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer. Job concludes, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. The purpose was simple. It was a first and personal, intimate encounter with the living God. And it took that for Job to have this kind of encounter with God. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes, I've seen you. It's hard to know what kind of relationship Job had with God prior to that, but as we read this verse there, it looks like Job's relationship with God took a new dimension. It shifted from a second-hand experience with God to a first-hand experience. Instead of learning from others, he learned directly from God. This encounter is described in chapter 38-42, where God took Job on some kind of a tour of creation in question form, to question him about a few things, test him to see if Job is really in a position to question God's justice or not about his pain and suffering. The purpose was to teach him a few things, as we will see there. We don't know what form this encounter with God took, whether it was a vision or whether it was in spirit, but at the end of the day, Job heard the voice of God, And he was able to clearly understand what God was able to tell him. And this encounter described in these chapters there, Job learned four fundamental truths helpful for his journey through pain and suffering, and that can apply to us as well. The first truth that Job learned is that God is very personal. God is a personal God. We just covered part of this to an extent, but I just wanted to add a few things to this. Job learned we can know God personally and immediately through his spirit, not just through secondary means, hearing from other people or from sermons or books. These things are good, but there is more to it than these secondary means. Job prayed intensely. He was seeking God like crazy, and God answered his plea. And we can experience the same thing as well. Never give up praying in the midst of pain and suffering, because God will eventually answer you in a way that will amaze you. It is possible to meet God by faith on a daily basis and have a personal, intimate, first-hand, two-way street relationship with him. And this is what happened in chapter 38 to 42. As a matter of fact, if you look at the outline in the bulletin, it says in a few places, chapter 38, verse 32, it's chapter 38 to 42. The second truth that Job learned through that is that against appearances, God is a caring God. He deeply cares for his creation. And God never tells to Job during these chapters, I do care for you. This is something that Job had to glean from his relationship with God. God deeply cares for his creation, and by inference, for Job too. In his tour of the universe, Job discovered that God was not careless, passive, or distant, or indifferent towards his painful situation, or towards his case, even though this is what he came to feel and think about God. It's the same thing for us when we go through that kind of experience. Satan likes to tell us, does God really care for you? Does he really mind your situation? This is what he wants us to believe. Job was a blameless, upright servant of God. We read that at the very beginning of this book there. And God repeats it on a few occasions in the first few chapters. Yet he went through a tremendous experience of pain and suffering that seems to be beyond human experience. He lost all of his children. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He lost all of them through an accident. He went through relational pain. He also lost his servants, most of them, but a few came back to report to him, this and this happened. He went through financial pain as well. He lost all of his herds and cattle. He went through physical illness as well. We read that his body was covered with boils to the point that he had to use broken pieces of pottery to scratch himself and find some relief. Yeah, it was pretty intense. He went also through emotional pain and suffering. When he was in discussion with his friends, they kept telling him, you're suffering like this because you must have sinned somewhere. And Job kept telling them, no, I'm righteous. I have not done anything. And conventional wisdoms in the Old Testament is that you are upright, you are blessed. If you sin, you're going to be punished. it was like there was no place for greater consideration than this equation. And this is what the book of Job teaches us. The Psalms also teaches that. He went also through spiritual pain and suffering. He lost touch with God. And he was seeking God. He was seeking understanding without answer. And the discussion he had with his three friends and his plea towards God. In the midst of the storm of pain and suffering, it is not uncommon to think and feel that God is distant, that he is silent, he is absent. It's not uncommon to think that he has abandoned us. This is what we feel. Job came to even the point of questioning the justice of God in all of this. He came to think that God is unfair and is unjust towards him. We read in chapter 34, verse 5, Job says, "I am innocent, but God denies me justice." In chapter 40, he says, God tells of him, "Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself?" Then, after this long discussions with his friends and his intense time of prayer, God shows up. It's often like that. It's often when we are at the end of ourselves that God shows up, and it seems like it was the case for Job as well. God showed up and answered him in a very special way. Like we said before, he took him on a tour of the universe and started to question him. For instance, in chapter 38, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm and said, 'Who is this that obscures my counsels with words without knowledge?'" Wow, it's kind of humbling to be told this by God. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it?" And then in verse 18, "Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this." Verse 25, "Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an inhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprouts with grass?" Verse 33, "Do you know the laws of heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Who gives the ibis wisdom or gives the rooster understanding? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wonder about a lack of food?" This is just a sample of the kind of questioning that Job faced from God. Goes like this for four chapters, basically two sets of questions. Do you know this or do you know that? Or who has done this or who has done that? At the end of the day, Job got the message. You know, if God cares for the raven, surely he cares for Job and you and for me, doesn't it? Through his tour, Job understood that God is actively and personally, intimately involved in his creations and the operation of the universe and in the life of his creatures, including Job himself. That we perceive that God is not around is a deception from circumstances, from our emotions, our feelings, and from the doubts that Satan puts in our minds. What are we going to believe? What the Word says or what our emotions? Where are we going to place our faith in all of this? Surely God cares for Job and his situation. The third truth that we learn from this experience is that Job learned about humility and repentance. In light of God's revelation of his care and involvement, twice during his tour of the universe with God, Job came to humility and repentance. In chapter 40, we read, "The Lord said to Job, 'Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him.' Then Job answered the Lord, 'I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more.'" And then in chapter 42, "You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" What is the benefit of humility in an age of arrogance and pride, where showing humility can make you look like you're weak, a prey to some people? Well, it's twofold. Humility gives us a proper angle on life and reality. It helps us to have a proper view of ourselves, of God, and of other people. And it also invites God's grace into our life. We just have to think about the parable of the tax collector, and also in James chapter 5, which says, "Humble yourself before God Almighty, and he will lift you up, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." In some circumstances, pain and suffering are designed to bring us to a place of humility and repentance. Job also found repentance. Repentance brought heart renewal to his life and paved the way for faith and trusting God. We love to play God and often think that we know better than God. I met countless people, especially atheists, that thought, well, if I was God, I would have done it this way instead of that way and this and that, with their limited knowledge. In light of God's revelation, Job came to realize, wow, I don't know anything. I thought that if I was God, I would have done it that way, but I don't know anything. Who am I to question God? God is not only almighty, but he knows everything and act according to his good and loving purpose and wisdom, even though it doesn't look like it in my life. Maybe there are circumstances and considerations, I should say, and the mind of God that I'm not aware. Maybe God has a greater purpose that I'm not aware of. And I need to maybe trust God. That brings us to the last point here. In light of his understanding of God, Job came to abandon himself and trust God no matter what. Through this encounter, Job realized that not only God cares, or that he acts with goodness and justice in his creation, but that in governing his universe and creation and the life of his creatures, God knows what he is doing. He does know what he is doing. In every aspect of our life, even though it doesn't look like it, or even though he does not tell us why and why we are going through pain and suffering. Job was never told why he was suffering or when it would end, but that didn't matter anymore, because he knew that God was not unfair and out to destroy him, but that God was like a good father or mother is for their children, even though sometimes allowing for pain and suffering to enter the life of their children for a greater purpose, greater good. Job could now rest in light of God's revelation of his love, of his care, of his justice, could rest in his knowledge of God, trust him like a child without questioning him and without a need to understand everything, he concluded in saying, "This, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." In other words, I will stop questioning you, God, and I will accept what you bring into my life because you have a purpose behind it. I may not be aware of it, but you're working on it. If I submit myself to it, this great purpose will be achieved in my life. I trust you. I just want to conclude with this here. Like it is with many situations in the Old Testament, God usually has a double purpose in these kinds of tough circumstances. We see this purpose that took place in the life of Job. He has learned about God in a way that he did not before. But there was a purpose beyond him. And you see that in the life of Joseph. We don't have time to cover this aspect here, but just to say that at the end of the day, Job's experience not only was beneficial for him, but it was beneficial for countless of people after him who, by reading about his experience and reflecting on the book of Job, found comfort, hope, encouragement, and inspiration. When we go through a tough journey, especially a tough journey that seems to be endless, God will achieve something in your life, and he will achieve something beyond you. And who knows how it is going to be able to influence and change the course of the life of someone else that you can relate your experience to down the road. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Job, and we can look at pain and suffering in one way as a gift that has countless of blessings in it when we consider it under the light of your scriptures, under the light of your truth there. Help us to persevere in this journey of pain and suffering that we may go through at one point or another, and prepare our heart to be receptive to what you have to teach us instead of fighting against it, and receive from your hand a blessing that will transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.